Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Every other Monday, we're coming at you with news, show reviews, and previews of upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're just getting into the scene or you've seen it all, this is the show for you.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network and wherever you get your audio.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Super J Cast. I'm Joel, joined by David McDonald. It is Thursday, the 31st of July. This is episode 372, and a really special one today because we're in the same room, Damon, at the fourth attempt. It's an extra special podcast this week.
We've had more technical difficulties, and I can reach out my arm and touch Joel right.
It's all going wrong. Even that recording we just attended went wrong. Scrumpy is going mental. We think this is a cursed episode of the Super J-Cast. We're going to give it one last attempt. Yeah. It does seem to be doing stuff now. Damon, how are you enjoying your trip to England?
It has been wonderful, except for this podcast.
It's ruined everything.
Total fucking shit. It's 11, 11, 10, 11, 18? Holy crap, we're cruising. I feel like I want to talk fast because I don't want to mess anything up. It has been unbelievable. Obviously, I came over here to see Oasis, but we promised each other we would spend time together, meet up. I am literally an arm's length from Joel.
Let's do a high five. First time ever, Joel and David high five. One more.
That's the one we're looking for. So we're together. We're here. And probably a very little bit of New Japan talk, G1. You can get that for the low price of $10. But for this, we're going to have some fun, see what we have. Cheryl is here. Mally is downstairs putting the kids to bed. And we had a wonderful dinner. We're having a great time.
If people want to hear about the Oasis gig, you said it was the best concert you've ever been to. Can you elaborate on that,
please? Okay, so here we go. So, one, I've always been fascinated by the crowds at Wembley and even like other UK events. Like, I just love the passion and the energy that they bring. First time at Wembley, seeing Oasis, they're the tip top of their form. Liam has a voice. Noel seems energized. The entire crowd was bonkers from the first note to the end. It was amazing. Everyone was friendly. Everyone was into it. I've been to a lot of concerts in my life, Joel. I've been to plenty of concerts, and I've seen this band plenty of times. This was on. We left here, and Cheryl and I looked at each other, and it was like, that was the best show we've ever attended. And this has been one of the best trips ever. So, yeah, the worst part was getting out of there, and you were right. You were right. Even from your AEW/New Japan/whatever show it was that you went to at Wembley.
No, that's what we were debating. Is it worse to be stuck in a 2-hour long queue to Wembley Park Station walking like a penguin with drunk Oasis fans or drunk AEW fans?
I'll take the Oasis fans anything, because at least we made some friends. If anybody knew I was there, they'd probably throw beer at me there. That was the worst part. That was like 2 hours of just pure hell, but we made it. And here's the thing. So we got back to the hotel. It was probably like around 1. and I was dead, and my knees were shot, and my hips were shot.
I sound like Hiroshi Tanahashi over here.
I really was. I really was. And then we had a 10 o'clock train down here. So we were a toast. And then I was snoring like a motherfucker. Oh, my God. I was snoring so bad, and Cheryl was mad. But we made it, and it's been such a joy. Like, look, again, a lot of people just go to London. A lot of people go to Manchester and all. But to come down here, Devon area, it is just mind-blowingly gorgeous how it is. It's what you would think of as fantasy England. And I know people in the UK are probably like, yeah, no kidding, asshole. Over and above the normal, yeah, okay, asshole. It's mind-blowing, the depth of beauty here. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's. I said it was like the kind of England that you might see in storybooks, in children's books growing up. Like, if you've ever watched, British listeners will know Postman Pat and, like, the little village of Greendale, and you think, well, places like that don't really exist. They do. They're all just down in Devon and maybe Cornwall, parts of Somerset as well. So, like, you may as well be in a different country. It's so different to what it's like in somewhere like London.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's plenty of fun things to do in London itself. The next time we come, this is where we're staying. Maybe not in your house, but, you know.
Welcome. We've had a little dance party in here.
We did.
Got the cat. The cat's fun. Hopefully you'll still be around.
I'm playing doctor. I have a pair of pink rounded glasses and a stethoscope. Don't ask me why. Yeah, it's been really awesome. It's been a trip of a lifetime. Yeah, I watched a little bit of the grabs, and I've heard a lot of pluses and minuses going in. But yeah, this has been fantastic, and I'm glad I'm here. I'm sharing this with Joel.
What has stood out to you the most as, like, the biggest difference, or the most jarring differences between, like, having that transition in the same day from London to the countryside?
Pace, you know, it's definitely, it's just the speed of everything is much different. And I mean, the green grass and the rolling fields and the rocks and London, again, London is great. Joel might have a different opinion, but, like, London is great, and you can do everything and nothing and still have a good time. But this is just, again, I guess this would be the equivalent of a person going to the United States and going to New York, right? And just going to New York and going to New York. And then, for whatever reason, they go to, you know, Wyoming or the Grand Canyon or something like that. It's that kind of thing, but I think even better. It's just been great. And, you know, to share it with my wife and Joel and his family, it's been awesome. And his dad, who's just fucking funny. Like, just like a guy who is just naturally funny and, like, smart funny. And just having a couple of pints with him and dinner and his family.
We've been in the restaurant for, like, less than 3 minutes when he was already, like, burying the waiter for not having the beer on sale that he wanted and for not knowing what beers were in
store. Well, to be fair, there was only one beer, like, at the time. Like, apparently they couldn't have more than one on sale. I don't know. But he was, like, not having it. But he was just funny, and the conversation was great, and the meal was great. Scampi hasn't.
Scampi, mate, this is ridiculous. Yeah. I'm going to put you outside.
He's having a good time. He's having a good time.
I thought himself over as usual.
Yeah, well, I thought maybe that you know, with Cheryl here, he'd be distracted, but yeah, not having any of it, But it's been awesome. Like, I know words escape me sometimes, but God, I wish everyone could experience it. From the transition from one night of 90,000 screaming lunatics to this heaven on earth. It's really amazing. And the fact that you get to live here, I'm extremely jealous. Because trust me, we'll be in tears on the flight home.
And you also got to spend the day with my children, which has been a milestone moment for people who've been listening to the Super J Cast a while, because When we started recording, I had no children, but now I have two and a half, if you count the cat. But yeah, that's been a really nice moment for me to get to see them hanging out with you, and you and Arthur getting along really well today.
Oh my God, I've never met a smarter three-year-old. He just, like, pointing out the differences between a thermometer and a barometer. Like, I couldn't even do that. He's just a smart, sharp as a tack, funny. Again, we're doing three-year-old things. We're singing, you know, fart songs and toilet songs and, you know, having
He knew his audience.
Yes, no doubt. He was popping me big time. And, you know, and it's weird because the drive that, not weird, but like the drive over to dinner, like I think we've talked more pro wrestling just off the cuff in the car, in the drives, than anything. And it's not even just New Japan. We talked about like the state of the union. And it was just like a fun conversation of, you know, what has happened in our lives up to this point. And the fact, you know, I said, I was in my bar when I got the text from Joel, you know, and when two dudes text each other, hey, can you call me? It's either really unbelievable good news or somebody died. Right? And the fact, you know, I still to this day remember the day that I got the text from him with the surprise number two. So this is, and to see them grown, and his first is five. And again, she's just smart and funny. And I don't know, man, you've been blessed, because your family's been nothing but a pleasure and a joy, and I'm extremely jealous. Cheryl, let's have some kids. Let's go. We can't have kids, and I'll tell you why. Because we could never match that. We could never find a way to even come close to equaling. And that's the honest to God truth.
So this is just 10 minutes of putting me over. I like it. Get used to this. What else do we want to talk about?
No, I mean, let's just talk about you and the job that you do. But again, we could have just come over, gone to the show, and it would have been great. But this is like an extra layer. And here's the thing too, Cheryl, like this is kind of like, not a dream come true, but maybe, you know, to a certain degree it is, just to see this part of something that she's always had a fascination with and an interest in, and something that has really, like, just knowing that she's seeing things for the first time that she's always kind of wanted to see is such a pleasure and a joy. It's really just one of those things. Man, I'll tell you what, look at a set of pipes on that cat. Jeez, I think, oh my God, threw her out. It's over. Yeah, what are you saying? Oh, I thought Cheryl was going to pop in for a quick running. You want to talk a little wrestling, or you want to just keep it in this?
I don't know. You want to talk about Hulk Hogan? Something we've not... He's doing all the face there, like, absolutely not. No, let's not talk Hulk Hogan.
I mean, look. Here's the thing. We live in a world where athletes do really shitty things. And that's not just limited to pro wrestling. I don't know if there was anybody else in the 80s that could do what he could do, in the sense of, like, you couldn't put Adrian Adonis in that role. Like, a great worker, but he's not going to be Hulk Hogan. You could put Dick Murdoch in there. Okay, you're going to have a great worker, but are you going to have Hulk Hogan? Like, what he was able to create. He's an absolute top guy in this business, and even transcended it. Even with the fact that, you know, your CNNs and your BBC Newses are going to focus on, you know, two things that he did wrong, but there's a cartload of things that he did wrong. And you can't hand wave that, but in the same breath, you can't discount the fact that he helped put pro wrestling to a certain degree on a main stage, as opposed to, yeah, it would sell out arenas. Like, this narrative that, oh, they were in smoky bingo halls, or that's bullshit. Like, they were selling out years before Hogan even showed up. Madison Square Garden, the Spectrum, Boston Garden, what have you. And even when he went to New Japan, he was a star. Like, he was a top guy. Even though he throws errant clotheslines that knock out Inoki, and he wins a title he wasn't supposed to. Even with that. So again, like all major superstars, whether it's football, whether it's pro wrestling, whether it's baseball, hockey, whatever. I think there's baggage that comes along with being a top guy in the sport, that's just natural. And then he went the extra mile with doing nonsense that you just shake your head at.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to look past not only the fact that he was a big old racist piece of shit, but also never apologised for that, or never publicly, you know, never apologised to the people that it mattered to, you know, all the fans out there who loved him and adored him for what he did, and he said some fucking terrible things and just never showed any contrition for it, unless you're Devon Dudley. Apparently he was, that's the only person that he apologised to, according to Devon anyway. I mean, who am I to doubt the man? But
never doubt a Dudley, Joel. Never doubt a Dudley.
Yeah, that's the very tell you, honest man.
Oh, Dudley. Sure. I mean, they, to them, I mean, they're the greatest tag team that ever laced them up. So, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that will be his legacy for me anyway, and I think for plenty of people, the sorts of people who are listening to this, then that's going to go hand in hand. When you think of Hulk Hogan, you're going to think of the horrible comments that he made about black people, which is unfortunate, but yeah, that's his own fault, so fuck him.
Oh, I don't know if I want to go that far, but again, there's everything you said is true. And it's hard to just take the pro wrestling, but you know, I say that to just take the pro wrestling aspect. He's the king of politicking, like he invented politicking in pro wrestling. He'll tell you that he was in the boom of the 80s and, you know, responsible for the boom of the 90s with the NWO. But he's not going to tell you that he was also in the downtimes of WWF and the downtimes of WCW. They kind of go hand in hand. So, again, we can't discount the fact that he is truly one of the biggest stars this game has ever produced, while still at the same time having a mailbag full of faults.
And his biggest legacy, or biggest impact through the lens of a New Japan pro wrestling fan, teaching Okada not to job on the way out, I suppose. I'm assuming that's where he got it from.
Maybe modern day, or how to throw a shoot clothesline and by mistake. You ever see that? You've seen that match, have you?
I think we might have done it on one of the COVID watch-alongs in the past. God.
Remember them?
I'd rather not.
But that was just another chapter in this silly history that we've had of what, you know, there was nothing to watch. So then we had to go and dig into the archives and review matches that have already been seen and give our take. Like, who the fuck is, you know? But people were craving for something. And it's like, oh, do you really give a shit that, you know, we're talking about a Kengo Kimura match or, you know, or whatever? But, like, that's the one thing that I'm pretty proud of when it comes to this show, is the fact that even when that was there, we were able to do something. Even in G1 seasons when, like this one, that might not be the red-hot ones that we want, we're still doing it. And not for nothing, everybody else that's doing this game, I'm not saying they come to us for advice, but they're reaching out to us for advice and motivation and questions and all of that. And I think there's a reason.
Like, how do you fly from Japan to Tokyo? Important questions like that. That only we have the answers to.
It's us. So it's a cool spot to be in. Like, I was talking with Joel, and like, could you imagine 5 years ago, I'm sitting in, you know, at your dining room table, we're doing a show, you're literally inches away from us, my wife is sitting there on the phone watching, I don't even know what she's watching. What are you watching over there? Huh? What are you watching?
Instagram.
What?
Instagram.
Instagram. All right. Well, not us. That's for sure. Neither is anybody here listening.
But no, I tell you a point. Like, from that period where we were doing shows making fun of Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi, upsetting the erotic fanfiction
community.
Oh my
god, I remember that.
Doing classic watch-alongs, doing shows about empty arena events, doing shows about the never-ending summer struggle tour of 2021. That, like I said in the car earlier, if you can't handle us at our summer struggle 2021, then you don't deserve us at our Wrestle Kingdom.
Right. It's amazing the ride that we've been on. And once again, I've told Joel, he's got to write the book. He's got to write the book because the journey that he's been on is just amazing. But the journey that our show has been on has been amazing. And it sounds like I'm doing a eulogy.
You know what I mean? But we're not going
anywhere. Where are you going? Fuck no. If we can make this show work, this particular one, we ain't stopping. But it's just like, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of what you've been able to do with your life and the family that you built. And the fact that I'm along for the ride on this it's pretty awesome. I feel very fortunate, very privileged to be able to do a show with you and to talk bullshit for 2 hours every week.
Yeah, and you fans should be privileged as well that you're getting to listen to it, and that all that shit that we've collectively been through, that we kept doing it. I was going to say, not for us, but for you, the listeners, but that's not true.
That's not true at all. it's never been the case. So
it's because, A, I like talking to you, and B, I'm very stubborn and will not let the haters win.
Why am I still wearing these glasses?
They suit you. They're very nice.
Thank you very much.
Lensless glasses.
Thank you. Yeah, when we first decided to do something like this, it was always, hey, we're just two guys at the pub, and it just happens to be microphones around, and what we do is we talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, and that sometimes drifts off into other areas, which I think keeps things interesting and fresh when the wrestling doesn't keep you motivated as much. But yeah, I mean, every week it's just, I don't want to stop because I don't want to stop talking to Joel. That's really it. If the wrestling is great, we're there for it. We're going to give you everything from our heart and mind and soul to convey our opinions on what's going on in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. But that comes with pluses and minuses. People might not like what we have to say. People might not respect what we have to say. But at the very end of the day, if they listen, they know that we're not making shit up. We're not doing bits. Well, we do bits, but they're more inside jokes than bits. Like, we're doing it because, one, we truly enjoy each other every week, and New Japan Pro Wrestling just happens to be the topic. Because quite honestly, this could easily be a Arsenal podcast or a music podcast or, you know, a Maple Leaf podcast, very easily. New Japan Pro Wrestling was the thing that we chose that we both have an interest in and passion for and knowledge for, and people respect us for it and are able to give us information that we can share with you. That's really what this is all about, and it means the world to me.
Yeah, and everything we've ever said about New Japan has been with absolute conviction and sincerity and said in good faith. And yeah, it's upset pretty much every corner of the fan base at some point on the way, whether it's been people saying that we're, you know, glazing New Japan and just saying that everything they do is great, or people saying that we're hate-watching and just saying negative stuff for clicks, which seems to be a lot of the opinion consensus at the moment. But I was saying that earlier, there was a time in the lifespan of the podcast where that kind of stuff would have bothered me, but now I don't care anymore.
I know, but don't you think it's back to the roots a little bit? Like because as we've grown and people started listening more and more, you start to feel that, okay, should I swerve left? Should I swerve right? What's the path of the show? And the more that we've done it, the more honest we've been, and the more genuine we've been. So I think that's been a core of what we do, is that honesty and that genuine aspect of it. Joel is ready to go to bed.
Oh, I was just going to say, because we've like systematically alienated everyone at some point.
We have no listeners.
Yeah, there's no one left to pander to. So there's some people still hanging on, and bless you for staying with us this long. But we don't know why you're here either. But thanks, we appreciate you all the same.
Yeah, we do. I mean, for all our nonsense, like the fact that people actually listen to this is very cool. I mean, but again, I think the days that we start pandering to individuals and having our opinions skewed by that. Yeah.
Unless it's for money. I'll do it for money. If someone from New Japan reaches out with it, gets a checkbook out, then I'll say whatever they
Listen,
want.
Listen, you can move me to any part of the building you want. You can
cheap seats right at the back. I'll do it.
I'll do it. You think I won't? I won't give a fuck. But yeah, it's been awesome. We're not ending it anytime soon, but I'm so glad we were able to at least do something like this.
Yeah, so a very incoherent, tired, rambling,
it's midnight,
masturbatory, circle jerking, self-aggrandizing bit of audio here, which I've really enjoyed.
It's been awesome, man.
Good stuff.
Thanks, brother.
High five again.
A terrible one.
All right, and we will catch you next time. So again, if you want the G1 stuff, there will be a G1 Climax Nights 9 review. Is that what we're up to? Yeah, Night 9 coming up at some point tomorrow when I get around to it. So yeah, get yourself a Patreon, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now, you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Hello everyone, my name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Every other Monday, we're coming at you with news, show reviews, and previews of upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're just getting into the scene or you've seen it all, this is the show for you.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network and wherever you get your audio.